Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Star Court Lounge. This is episode number 4. We are currently recording this, not to date it or anything, but we're currently recording this on the eve of Thanksgiving, just about.
That we are. Or the eve of the eve of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Tuesday. So, before we kind of started recording, we were talking about PC parts and upgrades that we're looking at.
So I just recently ran into a host of issues that I was trying to figure out. That is apparently a hardware system stutter that's going on. It's an issue with, I believe, the processor itself. And the only way
on your current one?
Yeah, the current. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I ordered myself a new processor, and I figured, hey, while I'm out here getting new PC parts, it's been a while since I've gotten a new video card. And
yeah.
Well, they just released new video cards, but I didn't get one of the new ones because, you know, they only
those are hard to come by.
They only have enough for a village out in India.
They have enough for the reviewers, and that's it.
Yeah, basically. I ordered myself a 2080 Ti. So that's a pretty penny for that.
Which maker did you get it from?
Like
an Asus or something like that?
Don't remember. I know I got it through Newegg. So
okay. Yeah. Okay. I've been looking at the Founders Edition 3080. I've got some like email notifications set up and stuff like that, and yeah, those are hard to come by. Who would have thought? Yeah, but by the time I get all the like parts that I want, pretty much the only original thing on my computer will be the case, because I'll probably need a new power supply for an upgraded graphics card and stuff like that. So it's going to be pretty much brand new. So I was thinking of taking those. It's a pretty penny, but I was thinking of taking like the old parts, like the old Ryzen 5 and all that kind of crap, and putting that into like a secondary case or on like an inexpensive like test bench or something like that, and turning it into like a Linux dedicated recording rendering rig, so that way I can take all the stress of recording off my main computer and put it onto the other one.
Dude, I'm gonna be honest.
And see if that helps.
I 100%, because the issue started because of an issue within Windows itself.
Okay.
I went through a forum that's like 200 pages long, and I was reading through a good portion of it. There's like 60 fucking pages.
Damn, that's a long thread.
I was reading through the thread until I did all of the troubleshooting issues that all these guys were thinking of, until I finally was just like, okay, it's with my hardware, I'm gonna replace it. And it honestly got me so pissed off at Windows that I was like, I might just change to Linux. So I did a little bit of reading, but I'm like, if I can put the new hardware in and I don't have any issues and it runs fine, I'm not going to bother with it, because I don't want to deal with all of the gaming stuff, because
the loopholes you have to go through.
It's a lot better than it was, but it's still
hoops rather, not loopholes.
I pulled it up here. This just reminded me, with my purchase of my new processor, I got a gift of Far Cry 6 with it. But no, the 2080 is an Asus Republic of Gamers.
Oh, one. Is it the ROG Strix?
Yeah, the ROG Strix, baby.
Yeah.
That's
a good card there.
Yeah, it's a really good card. It's one of the benchmark websites I was looking at had it ranked, and it's a user benchmark, so like people submit their benchmarks, and you can compare.
I see.
You can compare cards, and it'll rank them, and it's ranked like 7th right now.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, it still performs well. The biggest, drawback versus like the new cards is that it's like running first gen ray tracing cores and like tensor cores for like its super sampling and all that kind of crap. But it's still like a super good card,
which I'm more after. Smoother frame rates than I am after better graphic like integrity.
Yeah,
I guess, because I've been playing a ton of Borderlands 3, because one of my buddies got it for me for my birthday.
Okay.
And I've been playing the shit out of it, and you know, Borderlands graphics, it's not necessarily groundbreaking lifelike graphics. It's
right. They're not hyper realistic. Yeah, they're very stylized.
Cell shaded comic kind of comic book right. graphics, and you know, I love it. I've been having so much fun with the game. I just wish my computer worked so I could fucking play it.
Right. So like the issue that you're running into, it's like your processor is causing like frame rate stutters or something.
It's like an entire like system stutter in itself. Interesting. So it leads and it's like one of the things is if you take your mouse and you move your mouse smoothly back and forth, the mouse will stutter and jerk. And the like video playback will be like stuttery jank. And you'll get like I can't even think of how to really equate like this audio shit that goes on, but it's just awful. Like when I first
non-usable
because like when I first got all the gear put together when I moved cases it kind of had that issue. But if I were to
the most recent case you got, that like Rosewill,
I would just, you know, restart it and it would go away for a while, then it would come back. So then I was trying out, you know, different ways. So I connected to different ports to see if it would go, and it would always come back. So then I got myself a new sound card, which sounds amazing, but still came back. That's good. Then I tried doing a bunch of, then like all my drivers are up to date. I tried enabling, disabling some things. I tried, you know, I tried all of these different fucking problem solvers. Yeah. But it would go away for like a day, maybe, and then it would just come back. Like it got to the point where once I had it like set up where it wouldn't have it, I was like, I don't want to turn my computer off ever now.
Yeah.
And like
I remember a while back I was having issue, not quite that bad. Like I was having like mouse stuttering issues. Like you try to move your mouse slowly and steadily across the screen and like the cursor would like kind of stutter and jerk across the screen.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was a driver issue for the GPU. So I just had to revert back, which was a pain in the ass because you have to like uninstall it, find the archive of the old driver and reinstall. Yeah. It was such a pain.
Yep. So yeah.
And then I've also got that old laptop, which I've kind of got that same issue with, where it's like constantly, whenever you boot up, is reading like 100% disk utilization for read and write. So like the only way, and I've tried hours upon hours upon hours of troubleshooting to fix that.
Yep.
And the only thing that has even worked is going into Task Manager and like killing the individual processes that are causing all these read-write utilizations. And of course, as soon as you turn it off and back on, they reboot and come back. So you have to do that each time.
Yeah.
So like we finally just caved and got a new laptop, because both of our laptops are just kind of garbage. Mine's I think from 2013.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's a laptop that you got with for college.
Yeah, that's my like old college laptop. So it doesn't even recognize like fifth gen Wi-Fi or anything like that. And then, of course, Audrey's is like an i3 from like 2014, 2015, something like that. So that one's old now. Yeah. It's like, we're just like, all right, we found a good deal on like a Lenovo with, I think, like an i5 or something like that. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to get that. That'll be like our Christmas gift to ourselves.
Yeah. Like you can get a decent laptop for, I mean, like you have your desktop that you've got that you do all of your shit with, and then
my primary
for the stuff that she'll use it for. I mean, you don't need something like what I got the one of the HP Omens. Of the fucking thing's got an i5 and a fucking, or it's the ninth gen i5 and it's got a fucking 1060 in it. So
like, yeah, that's a little overkill for what we need it for. Yeah, we ended up it's a Lenovo IdeaPad 3. It's a 15-inch with a i5, 12 gigs RAM, and a 256 SSD. So I'm like, that is more than enough for what, like, she'll be the primary user, because, like, I've got this, like, several thousand dollar desktop.
Yeah,
I'm going to get my money's worth out of it.
Yeah. That's a nice thing. I did get this laptop when I did, because I can still, with my main rig down, I can still do some gaming. Unfortunately, yeah. I can't really do streaming and shit from it, because I just don't have I don't want to go back through OBS Streamlabs. I also don't have a lot of the files and shit that I had.
Oh, yeah.
To set up, like, my BRB.
Your stream deck and all your scenes.
I don't have all that
that's
shit
a,
on
that's
here.
That's a task in itself.
Yeah. So I can't really do streaming and shit from it, but thankfully this has given me an opportunity to rediscover Minecraft. I've been playing. I have two different mod folders. I have. I felt so smart when I was like, "Oh, I can just create folders on my desktop to then just cut and paste my mods and shaders for the different versions of Minecraft that I've been running."
Yeah.
But I've playing 1.12.2
okay,
because of a specific mod that I wanted to play again that I texted.
Is that
you
the Tinker's Construct that you
Tinker's
asked
Construct,
about?
Yeah, Tinker's Construct, yeah. And then I've got, you know, 1.16.4, which is just the latest version.
Yeah.
So I've been rediscovering playing Minecraft. Been having a lot of fun.
That is a game that I've thought about, like, booting up a handful of times here and there, but it's just like, I don't have enough time. And what time I have been, like, for gaming as of late has been constantly troubleshooting recording issues. Like, why is this footage so artifacted? And why is it when I record on this, it's fine, but on this game, like, the one that I'm trying to get a full Let's Play done of is the new Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, just because I like their story. And I think I've got it kind of in a sweet spot at the moment. I have to do some more tests. But it would be the first time I did it, like, day after launch, I booted it up, played like an hour of it, two levels, and posted it without issue. And it was perfect. No frame dips on recording or anything like that. And I went to play the next couple of levels and it's like, oh no, your GPU is going to use 100% of your resources now and you're going to have constant frame dips. So it looks like just utter garbage. So I've been constantly over the last like week and a half or so just trying to figure that out. So stupid.
That's why I am jumping on the stream train.
Yeah.
If like, oh, hey, there's stuttering issues, probably internet connection, baby. Or hey, right, this the stream doesn't look too good, that's the bitrate.
Yep.
But no, the
I've also gone over to a different encoder that's a little bit more. I've taken the encoding off of the graphics card because it was running 100% utilization on that.
Yeah.
And moved it over to the processor, because that's just a better encoding quality overall.
Right.
But then it's like, I mean, granted, AMD Ryzen processors are super good at that kind of utilization because of all their cores and threads versus, say, like an Intel. But it's still, I think the choking point is the graphics card, because it's just, it's an RX 580 trying to run like 1080 high frame rate on a modern game while also recording.
I don't think
it just doesn't do well.
Like, if your modern game is well optimized, you can still have older cards decently.
Yeah, true.
Like you could probably run Red Dead just fine. Red Dead 2, I should.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that it's more of a driver issue, because AMD is notorious for driver issues on their graphics cards and. Right. Just optimization problems on Call of Duty's end, because like I went through my graphic settings and tweaked all of that, and like I set it to utilize only up to like 70%, and it's like, nope, we're gonna still use it like almost 100%.
We're gonna use everything.
I'm like, oh, come on, guys, I don't want you like frying, or like not frying, because that's not what would happen, but just like cooking my graphics card
right
with a bunch of unnecessary processes that it doesn't need to be running.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited for the new hardware. I'm excited to get my main rig back up and running again. And I'm excited to continue my my playthrough that I'm going to be doing of the Ezio trilogy. I have...
I saw you posted that.
Yeah, I have the one episode up of it. Because I don't bother with trying to like edit like highlights of it or anything of this of streams.
Right, you just post the VOD.
Yeah, it's just too much video for me to download onto my system, because I stream at 720p because I the internet. I just can't do bit rates high enough for 1080p.
Right.
So I just do 720p 60.
Yeah, and honestly, for like streaming,
yeah,
I would honestly, I would sacrifice, and I do when I've streamed in the past, I sacrifice like video quality, but I would much rather prefer like
yeah,
a cleaner audio than, yeah.
A nice smooth stream that you can watch. And the difference between 720p and 1080p isn't huge.
No. Like, even at work, like, dealing with a bunch of TVs that are like 720, 1080, and 4K.
Yeah.
Like, coming back home, looking at my 1080 monitor versus the 4K TV, I don't really see a whole lot.
Right.
But, like, when you're right next to them and you've got a 720 next to a 1080 next to a 4K, and you're looking at all the little details on the demos, you can definitely see the differences. But, like, for, like, my purposes, I don't need much more than 1080.
No.
And pretty much any graphics card that I've been looking at is more, like, way overkill for 1080, like, high frame rate games. And you more often than not run into CPU bottlenecks than you do with graphics cards. So I think one of the next things I'm looking at doing is, after kind of getting the desktop setup, is maybe getting like a 1440 monitor to actually start utilizing some of the more like higher quality parts. And then I can always like record at 1440 and downscale it to 1080.
Right. Dude, I just opened up my YouTube creator dashboard app.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see if anything's changed. Because I just wanted to see how long the VODs are. It's
I think it was like 3 hours or something.
The two streams that I have put up is just over 3 hours and almost 4 hours and 45 minutes of playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Because the game would keep randomly crashing.
Classic.
So, yeah, that was fun. But I have 5 views total. I have 1 view on my zombie stream, and that was just seeing what it looked like.
Like, but testing
then,
it.
Yeah, but then my Ezio trilogy has 4 views, 1 comment, and 1 like.
Ooh, what's the comment?
The comment is from Senor Shinos, or Shinos, I don't know how to pronounce it, and his comment 6 days ago, A. The letter A. So, I have...
I think it was on the Call of Duty video that I posted not too long ago, or maybe it was the most recent Call of Cthulhu, the finale that just posted, but like some guy made a comment on it with like a link that was like, oh yeah, this is super sketchy, and it like, this looks like some either like spam or like adult video link. I'm like, I'm just going to delete this right now.
I don't remember if I texted you or if I texted Morgan about this, but in my chat, for that Assassin's Creed, which I actually held on to some viewers for that one.
Ooh, nice.
No one really was in chat, but I had one message in chat that whole stream.
Yeah.
And it was from a viewbot, I'm pretty sure. And it was just a message of, hey, wanna get famous? Go here and you can pay for viewers and Twitch Prime subs and shit.
Ah, that's exactly what I want to do with my money.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I looked and saw that I have a subscriber on my YouTube channel, which I was like, how do I have a subscriber? No one subscribed from my 2 videos. And I remembered back when we were playing Overwatch a ton. I uploaded several of my play of the game or game highlight clips.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I had 11 views on one of them. It was a D.Va clip that I got a quad kill with a D.Va bomb after Blythe Doors. I did the little Hammond ground pound thing to CC him. I had 11 views and I got a subscriber from that. But you know happened? YouTube just took them off my channel. The videos, the clips that I had on there just no longer exist on my channel.
Interesting.
Luckily, I can still go through, and I have them on my Blizzard account, so I could still like download them and re-upload them.
Right.
But they're just not there
anymore. That's unfortunate.
It's kind of, not to mention the recent YouTube, the terms and services of YouTube just recently changed. I don't know if you've seen much about this or read through the email that you got. But
I saw the emails on like all of my Gmail accounts, and I didn't really bother to look into it much.
So the here's basically what they're doing is they are saying, hey, your videos are up on our platform and we reserve the right to advertise on those videos. So even if you don't monetize a video, if you, for whatever reason, you aren't part of the partner program, so you can't monetize it, or it's just a video that, for whatever reason, just cannot be monetized.
Yeah.
They will still serve ads on those videos and pay you nothing. So right now, like the videos that you have up on your channel, they can and will serve ads on those videos, even though you cannot put ads on those videos. They will serve ads on those videos and then take all of that money and revenue from those videos.
That's kind of scummy.
And not to mention, let's say the channel blows up, you get some subscribers, and you can actually start making money off of your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I don't know how legacy views at that point work. Do,
right.
like, legacy views, because that's a ton of what the revenue comes from for YouTubers, I'm imagining, is not from necessarily new videos that are getting, but I'm probably from legacy views on all of your previous videos. Because if someone finds your channel, they like your videos, they're like, oh, let's go back and see, like, watch the rest of their videos, kind of thing.
Right.
But like, how does that work if like they've been serving ads those
previous videos weren't monetized?
Like, can you go back and monetize those videos?
I'd imagine you can.
You could
always probably like re-up, like it's a pain in the ass, but you could also like re-upload them.
Yeah.
That you're starting from a clean slate.
Oh, dude, speaking of starting from a clean slate, did you see what the fallout from the Taylor Swift versus Scooter Braun and her first five or six albums, I think it was? You know, when Taylor Swift started out, she was more of like a country artist versus the pop artist she eventually became. And she like changed record labels, and so she had lost the rights to that music, basically.
Oh, okay.
And so Scooter Braun had the rights to those songs and basically was like holding them ransom, essentially.
Right.
And apparently Scooter is not a good dude, apparently.
I mean, with a name like Scooter, come on.
Go back to third grade, am I right?
Right.
Where was I? Right. So Scooter just recently sold all of those albums to another record label.
Okay.
And it was in the deal, the label could not tell Taylor about the transaction until after it had gone through.
Right.
And, it had to be under an agreement that Taylor would have nothing to do with the music, basically.
Because she had no like legal ownership of it.
Right, but they're her song. So
yeah.
What she's been doing to put them up on Spotify is she has been re-recording all of those songs as covers and just putting them back up so that she has the rights to the music.
Which
is really fucking funny because the fucking record label paid hundreds of millions of dollars for that music.
Right.
And now they're just going to be getting nothing from it because everyone who wants to support Taylor and listen to the older music, they're just going to
go to the re-recordings.
New,
yep.
It's funny as shit.
It's fucking genius.
I fucking love it.
Good on you, Taylor. You don't take none of their shit.
Shake it off, as one might say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been spending some time trying to write some music.
Yeah, I know you're talking about that the other day, or a couple of days ago, rather.
Yeah, I was sending you some of the stuff that I was making.
Yeah,
chord
progressions.
Yeah, I sent you like the chord progressions for them. I don't remember if I sent you them, but I was like going around my room like, okay, what? I don't play drums and I don't feel like trying to figure out like MIDI drums. So I was like grabbing shit around my room and like sampling the sounds to try and put them as like, oh, that would be like that could be like a snare hit.
Yeah.
So I like sampled like opening a can of Monster, opening a cigar cutter.
I remember you sent me some of those.
I have a recording of me turning off my Bluetooth speaker because I don't know, for whatever reason, I like the idea of having that as like the end.
Yeah, like that's what it ends on, is that last little bit, like doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, have like like the usual thing where like the last bit of the song, there's like it's a cappella, the instruments go away and it's just a cappella singing like the last bit of the half of the chorus, but like slowed down, maybe a little bit of a minor, but doing that, but having like a filter over it, like it sounds like it's coming out of a speaker, and then having like some like light audio static, and then just
that'd be a nice way to end it.
But my God, writing lyrics is fucking hard.
Yeah, it's not an easy task.
As soon as you write some lyrics, it's like, oh, those lyrics sound cringy as fuck.
Right. It's like they sound good in the moment, or even even with the music aspect, it's like, oh, I like this, but then you start playing it over and over and over to like riff and build on it. It's like, I hate this now.
Yeah, I'm still going back and forth between if I wanted to have like a folk kind of sound.
Yeah,
but I write better lyrics if they're in like the form of like a rap.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I have to like, maybe I just do two separate songs about two separate things and I could, you know, build off of that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I enjoy singing, I enjoy rapping, and my lyric writing ability is definitely favors one over the other.
Yeah.
Because it's basically just writing like slam poetry.
With that like weird Congo drum beat, like do 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 do.
And then of course you got
the snapping.
Yeah. Oh dude, look at that audio wave right there. Just looks so rhythmic. I'm a fucking drummer, dude.
You better cut that out and put it into your your drum catalog.
Damn, even yeah, that,
the nice thing about the interface that I use, that Scarlett 2i2,
yeah,
is that it's got the two inputs for one. So like I've got the mic set up in channel one, and then you can set up the second line as either another microphone or as an instrument. So like I can just plug my guitar right into it and record, which is pretty sweet.
That's the thing. Like I was doing this just by like hitting record, and then just I took the foam cover off my microphone. It was just playing into the microphone.
Yeah.
But I also realized that, you know, this microphone is great for this, for like streaming,
spoken and word podcast. And streaming and all that. Yeah.
It's really good for that, which also might lend me better towards doing more of like a rap, because then because singing, it just sounds so monotone.
That's the one thing with, like that style mic, because you have the Rode Podcaster, right?
Yeah. It's not even the fact that it's like a USB mic, because Rode has a nice USB mic that apparently it sounds great with vocals and music.
Oh, yeah. I think it's like the NT1 or something like that.
Yeah, the NT1 or some shit like that. Yeah, sounds right. Because I was reading an article about it and how good if my mic was good for it, and maybe I just wasn't utilizing it correctly, no, apparently it's just really, it's really only, turns out the Podcaster mic was really only made for podcasting.
Yeah, it's a super good mic, but like when they designed it, it was for podcasting, so like the response curve on it is kind of very flat and wide.
Yeah,
same with the like the pod mic, which now has become my secondary mic if I ever touch it, is dedicated to like spoken word. So if like you try to use it for music, it's not going to be as good as say like the current mic I'm using, which is the Shure SM7B.
Yeah, you could use it to like sample stuff, but
yeah,
if you want to put it, because the one thing that like inspired me to just start sampling sounds to try and putting them together into a beat was I was watching an interview with Phineas, Billie Eilish's brother, who basically writes a lot of her music. Well, they both do a ton of writing for the music, but in Bad Guy, when it like in the instrument break after she says I'm the bad guy, apparently like the snare hits in the beat behind like the instrumentation is it's a crosswalk thing from Australia.
Interesting.
Like at the crosswalk you press the little button.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what it is. I was like, that's fucking cool. That means I can find shit, and I like the sound of that. Boom. Like, I really enjoy the, it sounds kind of just like the, like a lighter lighting, but like the sound of like a cigarette cutter opening, like that sound.
that kind of metal on metal raspiness.
Yeah, I really like that sound. Also, I think that might have peaked the audio there.
Yeah, if it did, we'll fix it in post.
The wave doesn't look too bad on it, so. Okay. But no, I really enjoy that sound, as using it as like a like an offbeat kind of sound to it.
Kind of like a snare or a cymbal.
Yeah, kind of like maybe like
a closed. It'd probably be more of a cymbal.
Like a closed hi-hat.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're looking for like good microphone reviews and like knowledge and info, a few channels that when I was looking at microphones that I went to.
Yeah.
One of them is called Podcastage. He does like a bunch of different like microphone reviews and audio interface and just general audio gear. Another one is Booth Junkies. That one's more geared for like spoken word and voiceover. And the third one is Tom Buck or the Enthusiasm Project. He does like gear reviews. He does like podcasts, that kind of stuff. They've all been like super, super helpful with like learning some of the more intricate, like here's what this particular voice effect or filter thing does. And here's this mic versus this mic. What, and then you kind of can hear them compared one to the other and make your choice.
Yeah, because I've just been trying to, because I've been doing a lot of this at work. So I've just been doing a lot of like reading articles on them. And, you know, reading articles about how a microphone's supposed to sound is really hard to get a feel, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to understand what they're saying. It's like, well, there's this weird kind of frequency scoop at the like high end. Yeah. And the bass and mid frequencies are very flat response. It's like
just great. I just want to hear what it sounds like. I want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like trying to describe, like trying to sell a TV, but you can't see what the TV looks like. I, kind of circling back onto the topic of microphones and shit, made me think about, you were talking about the one channel that does like voiceover and stuff, and made me remember there's an article I read on Google News today that was saying that Google is actually paying people to go out and like take pictures of like storefronts or take pictures of just like places in general, or like you can say phrases for them and like transcribe stuff for them. Through an app that they have. Apparently, right now it's only in India.
Damn.
But that's what I was saying. Like, I'll sit at home on my free time and just say phrases into a microphone for you, Google. And even give you some good audio quality, too.
Oh, yeah. I've looked into what it would take to get into, like, audiobook narration to get paid for it. And it doesn't seem all that difficult to do. Like, you put up a few demo reels, and then if they like you, they're like, yep, we'll have you do this narration. And then there's like a couple of different like pay models. Like you could do it based on like how many units are sold or just like a flat rate and a bunch of other stuff. But it's like, I mean, hell, that'd be kind of fun to give a try.
I mean, hell, I have all these books that I want to read or reread. And I'm like, hey, I could just read those books aloud into my microphone and just upload them as an audiobook.
Right.
Like, as long as I'm not saying like, oh, this is my book that I wrote. I'm like, hey, this is The Witcher by Andrew Sapkowski. I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah, like Sapkowski, something like that.
I was more worried.
As long as you probably wouldn't run into too much issue as long as you don't try to like monetize it.
Well, like,
although I've heard that Sapkowski in particular is kind of an ass.
Well, you know what I mean.
I get what you mean. I'm just,
I grab a book.
He's not a fan of the games that he licensed because like he licensed them for like dirt cheap because he didn't expect them to go anywhere, and he's all pissy about that. And the guy that wrote the Metro books, like called him out on that. It was pretty funny.
Bro, the dude who wrote the fucking Metro books, I watched a video documentary on that guy, and he like self-published those books online on like a blog forum.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I listened to all three audiobooks for that, and I enjoyed them. First one was super great. Second one, that one was a little bit weird because it changed main characters. from the first one, but I still thoroughly enjoyed it. The third one was probably my least favorite. That one actually goes back to the same main character as the first one, Metro. Yeah. So it's Metro 2033, 2034, and 2035. And 2035, I just found the main character. What is his name?
I don't know. I only played the game, I only know RTM. Yeah.
Well, it is the same character. So yeah, RTM. I just couldn't remember his name. But yeah, RTM just like really kind of irritated me through a good chunk of that book. I still liked it. It just, I didn't like it as much as the first or second. Because like the first one has got like some really distinct like horror vibes and stuff. It was very well done.
Bro, I was thinking about what you said about having issues with it. And I was like, I could just do like really old stories that are like public domain. So I could do like, you know, the Odyssey, just fucking read that and put that up. Oh, then okay. I remembered, I think it was like last year or the year before, someone had gotten me a book for my birthday. It's Hans Christian Andersen, Classic Fairy Tales.
Ooh.
And I was like, hey, I could just do that. And we could, people could use them, like, instead of them reading their books to their kids, they just put that on in the background for their kids.
Yeah. You could do that.
I could read books to children.
Yeah, or like books that aren't exactly super mainstream. Like,
one of my recent
audiobook purchases was about like ancient Egyptology from like the 1800s and like all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's interesting, but it's like very kind of dry because it's nonfiction. Stuff like that you could probably record and not have much issue with.
I've got a book series called The Dwarves.
Mm hmm.
I don't know how big the series is, but I really love the series. I could do The Count of Monte Cristo.
Do the Game of Thrones.
Got the unabridged version of that sitting over there.
Ooh, you could do Les Mis. I think that's laying around there somewhere.
Oh, bro.
It's only like 1,400 pages.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And a bunch of French.
Because as soon as I remembered that I'd gotten this Hans Christian Andersen book, I remembered like, oh, hey, cocoa melon's growing pretty big. And what are they doing? They're just farming out content for children to listen to nursery rhymes that are really bad and stupid. I'd be like, I could take advantage of that, but also not make shitty content like that. I could just read fairy tales.
You mean you're not going to do like unboxing videos? And a bunch of other nonsense.
Okay, so it was a running...
What was that Spider-Man and Elsa bullshit?
Yeah, that was going on for a while there.
God.
Me and my...
YouTube Kids has got some problems.
Me and one of my buddies had a running joke throughout high school that if we were to start a YouTube channel, we would do, like, really stupid, esoteric unboxing videos. Like, we would take... we would scour the internet for like 90s like cereal boxes or 90s like box of Cheez-Its or something, and we would just we would unbox like the Cheez-Its and be like, as you can see by the coloration of this box, and you see here this wording here was only used on these boxes of these Cheez-Its, so we can carbon date this box of Cheez-Its to about 1992.
Yeah, you see this lingo, this wordage here.
Yeah.
It's a very rare early beta test box of this particular brand.
And we just and you get like the ASMR of opening up the box, and you'd like and then you could turn it into like a food review channel as you're like snacking on a cheese and like yes, this flavor profile.
You know, if you ever did that, you'd have to have it on a set where it's like a very posh looking like library or den with a fireplace, like an animal skin rug, and you're in like a red velvet like smoking jacket with like a pipe.
Dude, if I get the place that I've been looking at, that upper lofted area, be fucking perfect.
Are you turn
for
that
kind
into
of
that?
Shit. Dude, that upper lofted area is gonna be completely devoted to like my
office.
Like an office area. Like I'm probably gonna put like down on the ground floor, I'd have like my TV and all that shit. So I'd have like my laptop set up down there to run like Netflix or Hulu or whatever down there. And then up
essentially as your media
device. And then like probably take like the Xbox One that we have here and maybe my Switch, and I might either put it down there or I might have like that up in the loft, because that loft is pretty big. I could probably put like a little gaming corner up there, but I was planning on using that. I could set up, there's like the Sony video camera that we have. It has really nice. Oh,
that little hand. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got really nice video quality. And there's, I just need to get a cord for it, a mini HDMI to HDMI. And then I can set that up as my webcam. I could do streaming and actually show people my ugly fucking face.
Don't you have like a Logitech 922 or something like that?
Yeah, it's not that great though.
I guess. You could also use your phone.
I could, yeah. But the biggest thing about not wanting to do that now is because I don't want to show people the mess that I live in.
True.
So
I guess the one thing I'd be wary of setting up that loft is that it could be, it could potentially get very echoey. So
yeah,
if you did it that way, I would maybe think about getting some like portable like panels, like make them out of 2x4s, hang some like heavy fleece blankets or something like that, or whatever, and kind of place them around you to dampen the reverb of the room.
Yeah, I don't know. There's like a
which is kind of surprising because my office has zero sound treatment. Like right now, I'm recording with the door open and a bunch of stuff, and I don't have any like echo issues, which is kind of nice.
I mean, it's kind of the same where I'm at right now, but yeah, I gotcha. There's like a big like roller door kind of style kind of closet. They don't have like doors in there or anything, but there's like a big there's like a really big closet up there that I could fit my entire desk into.
Oh, in that case, yeah, that would be super nice because then. Yeah. Especially if you still use it for like clothing, because that's soundproofing it there.
I probably like I've thought about. To be honest, there's a lot of closet space overall there, so I probably wouldn't use it. I'd probably just use it only for the desk. The only thing is I don't think it'd be big enough for me to be able to put the L onto the desk because there's a detachable like L attachment.
Oh right.
For the desk, which I kind of really want to put on so I can have more desk space.
Yeah,
but. I don't know. I wouldn't really be too heartbroken if I can't do that. Because then if I could just set my desk up in there, I could just have... it'd be a really nice setup. I'm really excited to try and see. Because hopefully I'll be able to have a viewing for it on Saturday. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. It sounds like a nice place. From the pictures that I saw that you shared with me, that it looked really nice too.
I was talking with Mom about it and I was like, bro, I'm going to feel like a fucking king living in a mansion. It's a lot of space for one person.
How many square feet is it?
They don't have it on the website. They don't have how many square feet it is. They just have, you know, the one bedroom, one bathroom, how much rent is, and the availability on it. They don't have the square footage of it. But looking at the photos of it, it's fucking huge. Like, they're...
Oh, here it is.
Really?
A studio... Oh, wait, no, that's just the rent.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, they don't have the square footage, but
that's kind of
looking at the pictures of it. Like, it looks like it's probably as much, if not maybe a little more than what you guys have.
I would, if I were guessing, I'd say maybe in the realm of 500 to 600 square feet.
It's big.
I mean, it also helps. At least the one you were looking at has a lofted area, so that gives you a lot more kind of. Room to play with.
But if you look at that lofted area, that's huge.
Yeah.
That is a it's got a
bunch of area.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait. Especially as a first place. I could see myself living there for a while.
Yeah. It's a good place. Especially with all the appliances and it being new.
Oh yeah. I'm also pretty sure all utilities are included in the rent.
Ooh, that's even better.
So it is pretty cheap. I would not be surprised if the rent is that low because of COVID. Because, my God, that's like studio apartment prices for a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, especially where it's located there.
Yeah, it's over, It's right next to the highway, too. Or it's
right
next to, like, an on-ramp. It's not too much farther away from where I work, so I'm hype.
Yeah, you could just, like, hop on the highway... And then take that north.
I'd only need to do that once a week for school. Other than that, I can just take a 10-minute drive.
I mean, you could do it
work.
For, like, school or... Oh, speaking of school, I filled out an application.
Ooh.
To start. I think the technical name of the degree program is Network Systems Admin.
Fun.
So essentially the end goals that you can get in, well, I mean, a variety. It's very kind of widespread what you can do with it. But it's kind of geared more towards like system administration. So like managing a, like a business's like computer fleet and all that kind of stuff, making sure people have, the proper permissions so that they're not like ruining stuff, having backups,
right?
All that kind of like networking and server maintenance kind of stuff.
That's fun.
Which watching more like tech tubers, like talk about like what you can do with like network access storages and different storage servers and all that kind of stuff. It's like super, super fun.
Fuck yeah.
I've thought about like piecing together or getting something for like, for a NAS storage solution, right, essentially like a file server. So that way like video and audio and stuff like that, we could, essentially upload it and have like even backup like important files to it.
Yeah,
I think that'd be super, super useful and super cool.
I don't want to derail it, but I was looking back through the photos of the place. The closet looks plenty big.
For your desk?
I could definitely put a desk in there, put some clothes in there, everything. I could definitely do it. But no, that's fucking cool as shit. Have the network for the backups and shit. That'd be fucking cool as shit.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, you can get...
Especially like, since we have all of this...
It depends on how you want to do it.
Especially since we have all of this extra fucking computer parts laying around.
Yeah. Like, you could do that where you, like, take, like, old or spare computer parts and do it. Or you can get, like... something pre-made or like specifically for that kind of purpose,
right,
which are generally more energy efficient. Yeah. So like there's plenty of options there. Like I've looked at NAS storage cases with like quick hot swapping capability for like the hard drives,
right,
which are like super cool, and I've seen them for like in a, I don't know, it's like $300 to $400.
Dude, but really
those
cool
unfortunately don't
could...
include they don't include the hard drives.
Oh, that'd be really cool if you could set one of those up just to have for your like your OS. Have that like where you boot from so you could clear up, or just have one of those for games, because God knows I could use that kind of shit.
Oh yeah, you could do that as like a Steam cache where you like keep all your games on like an external server.
Yeah.
And access them that way. Depending especially on like how you do the servers, you could actually set them up. I've been watching a lot of Linus Tech Tips, and he did a project where he did a 6 editors, 1 computer build.
Yeah.
So essentially, he's got 6 virtual machines running off of 1 tower stack of hardware and all that. And there wasn't like a super noticeable or discernible performance difference for like the editing purposes.
Yeah.
It's just the infrastructure that you'd need. Like he's running like 10 gigabit network ports and stuff like that. It's like high quality, high level stuff. Whereas like your standard port on a router or your computer's just 1 gigabit max.
Right.
But that would also not be running 6 machines worth of high density video transfer.
No, it would not. Imagine the only thing that would impact is your load times would be atrocious.
Yeah, depending on your network connection. I mean, it's always going to be better to have it like stored locally on like a high speed SSD rather than going through like a Steam cache.
Right. Even if it's still like, you could have like your Steam cache of, I actually thought about doing something like this where you have like a mass storage thing that you put all your games on, but it's so quick and easy to move the install folder for games that you could just, when you want to play them, you could have like an SSD set up specifically for just putting games onto temporarily. So you load quick as shit, and then you just move the install folder back to your mass storage. I thought about doing something like that, because I have my 2 SSDs and I have that 8 terabyte hard drive I just put in there.
Right.
So I thought about doing something like that, so I can just have, you know, I move the install folder, play the game. It's real quick, easy to access, and I don't have to worry about any long issue or any issues in general, really, on that end of it.
Yeah.
And then I just put it back.
I thought about doing something similar. Well, not quite that. I recently bought a 2 terabyte SSD.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'll just put all of my games from my D drive now to this F drive SSD. And then I'm like, I have at the moment ultimately decided it's going to be a the video drive. So I've got like, yeah. I still have to move over like the older videos before that and podcast stuff to it. But it's going to like house all the raw footage, all the like compressed and all the published footage and stuff like that. Dude, and then I have to figure out what I'm going to do with the E drive.
Yeah. Dude, I have way too many fucking Steam games to fit onto an SSD that I can reasonably afford. Like, to get an SSD the size I would need for all of my Steam games would probably be in the thousands.
Yeah, I started doing the transfer, and it was like, oh, it's going to be, like, 1.5 terabytes of stuff, because I was going to move, like, Epic Games, Steam games, all that kind of stuff over. Yeah.
Dude, I bought the 8 terabyte, and I don't even have all my games installed, and I already have, like, 2 terabytes taken up already.
Yeah.
Just from... because games are so fucking big.
Yeah, they can be.
It's always whack when you go to like play retro games. It's like, oh, I'm going to install Assassin's Creed. Oh, it's 8 gigabytes.
It's done. Yeah.
It's a fucking...
Or it's like, here's a 500 megabyte game. It's done installing in like half a second.
Like I wanted to go back and play... I played Baldur's Gate Early Access. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Cool, this is really fun. And I went back and I got the old Baldur's Gate games and I installed them. It's like, oh, this is a fucking pack of bubble gum and a toothbrush.
Yeah. There's like nothing to it at all.
Yeah, you start downloading it, but before it can even give you an estimated download time, it's already fucking downloaded and installed. Because it's a game that was remastered in 2013, but made back in 1998.
Yeah, when you're running it off of a floppy disk of 5 megabytes.
Yeah, you're running it off of a 2 kilobyte floppy disk that you power with your 2-pound electric toothbrush.
Yeah.
I've had to use floppy disks
before for CAD and CNC stuff in school. And
really?
Yeah.
We didn't. What the fuck?
Yeah,
We had machines that would run on Windows 95 in the first shop I worked at. We had a couple machines. They had built-in computers that were Windows 98, I think, actually.
Oh, damn.
They're like, yeah, because, I mean, the machines were, like, made.
Old.
Yeah, that's when they were made, I believe.
When they came out, Windows 98 was cutting edge.
Yeah, but they ran off of Windows 98, but even those didn't use floppy disk.
Yeah, no, we had like a small little like benchtop CNC in Tech Ed, and for us to do the programming, we had to do it on one of the like school computers, transfer the program to a floppy disk, and then use the floppy disk on the CNC computer in order for it to do anything.
How big was that CNC?
Do
you remember how much travel?
Oh, in that like regard? No.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like overall dimensions. Like maybe it was like three or four feet tall or something like that. It was pretty tiny. Oh. Like we just did CNCing on like little tiny pieces of acrylic.
Oh, okay. It was just a little tool room mini mill.
It was just like, here's what you can kind of do with like, here's CNC stuff. And then in the actual like machine shop, or tech ed shop, there's like big mills and lathes and all that.
Dude, when I went back to help make this set for Sound of Music at the high school, seeing all of the fucking add-ons, like first of all, holy shit, the wood shop back there, it's basically built with the backstage area, so stage crew can use all of the wood shop stuff. They have a CNC router back there. It's fucking awesome. That entire auditorium is fucking amazing. We got to go see their new swimming pool. Got to see the field house. Got to see the new tech ed department stuff. Because they redid that a little bit too. It was awesome, dude. Got to go see some of the machines they had in the machine shop.
It's almost like investing several $1 million into your educational system and network is a good idea or something.
Oh, yeah. Almost. Damn. I mean, well, we've been going almost hour 15. If you want to start wrapping up.
Yeah, we can do that. You want to do the honors this time?
Sure.
You opened it. You can close it.
Thank you for listening to two brothers ramble about anything that they want to talk about for an hour. We appreciate it. Go check us out on Instagram at StarCourt Lounge or StarCourt Gaming? I think it's StarCourt
Gaming. StarCourt Gaming.
StarCourt Gaming on Instagram, at StarCourt Gaming. Check out the StarCourt Arcade YouTube channel. Where have you put up any of the Call of Duty stuff yet?
I've got one episode. It's like an hour long. It's the first like two episodes of the, or two not episodes, the two first missions? Levels of the game. Okay. Yeah.
So go check out the StarCourt Arcade to see the movie that is the first couple of missions of Black Ops Cold War. Also some New Vegas videos.
Indeed.
Depending on where you find this podcast, check us out on Spotify. Do a little self-plug. Go check out Vinny Cannoli on Twitch. And I guess if you really want to see the VODs on YouTube, same name. If it looks like you got Daniel Day-Lewis staring at you, you found the right channel.
Yeah, I looked it up earlier. Yours was the only one that came up when I narrowed it down to channel searches.
Ooh, that feels good.
So it should be pretty easy to find if you do Vinny Cannoli and search for channels.
All lowercase, no spaces, no need to complicate it. I may in the future, when I have a ton of time off, I might even try doing a world record stream of Shinonuma.
Ooh. I'll keep you going.
Oh my god, it's going to be insane. The record's like 10,750.
Oh damn. Yeah, that'll be a time sink.
Anyway, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. We hope you check us out on all of our ancillary socials. And have a good evening, night, or morning.